Tomorrow marks the 250th anniversary of the country's independence, and to mark the occasion, we have a special holiday episode for you. It's Friday, July 3rd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Wisconsin was not a state when the Declaration of Independence was signed 250 years ago. So who was here and what did the landscape look like? We'll dive into those questions. Plus, a Wisconsin community honors a founding father with a new work of theater.
They cared about the country. They worked hard. They stayed together for 54 years.
Stay with us.
There's a certain spirit about being a Wisconsinite.
On Wisconsin Weekend, we celebrate that by exploring the stories that make the state special.
And we meet people doing interesting things who don't always make it into the headlines.
Connect with your Wisconsin community on Wisconsin Weekend.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10 on WPR News.
It's the 3rd of July, so we thought we'd do something a little special to celebrate America's birthday on the show today. We've got two episodes of Wisconsin Life. We're going to start with a fun interview. Of course, tomorrow marks the 250th anniversary of the country's independence. But Wisconsin wouldn't join the nation until more than 70 years after its founding. But the many tribal nations who called this region home were closely tied to European settlers by 1776 and became part of Revolutionary War history. University of Wisconsin-Madison professor John Hall joined Wisconsin Life's Bridget Bowden to talk about that history and life in the region 250 years ago.
John Hall, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
So as we know, Wisconsin was not a state in 1776. So can you tell us who was here at that time and what did life look like for them?
Yeah, so the principal residents of what we today call Wisconsin are, of course, Wisconsin's First Nations, indigenous peoples to the region. And those include people who have lived in what we call Wisconsin for time immemorial. They include the Ojibwe or Anishinaabe, the Dakota, the Menominee, the Ho-Chunk, also known as the Winnebago, Potawatomi, and also at that time, Sauk and Meskwakis, also known as the Fox, who were not originally indigenous to Wisconsin, but had migrated into this part of the Western Great Lakes over the preceding century.
What sort of trade networks existed at the time among the tribes in what would become Wisconsin and also with European settlers in the area?
So this would include both very, very old organically native trade networks, right, with native nations trading with one another as they had for centuries, if not millennia. But then it is also imbricated in a global trade network, or at least a transatlantic trade network. It had been with the French primarily prior to 1776, and the British, when they assumed putative control or claims to suzerainty over this region after 1763, the British then become essential providers to these native nations of European manufacturers, which by this point, most native peoples have come to depend upon.
And how were the region's tribes affected by the American Revolution and the other events of 1776?
So originally not very much. British administrators at the very early stages of the war did not want to involve native nations. I mean, they made a practical decision to not try to pull native peoples into this war as military allies until about 1778. And by then, they do make an effort among Wisconsin tribes to recruit native warriors to follow Charles Longglide, who is sometimes called the father of Wisconsin, east to help with gentleman Johnny Burgoyne's invasion of New York from Canada in 1777. Larger participation in the hostilities of the American Revolution won't come until 1780. 1780, when Longglade assembles a larger contingent comprising most of the tribes who lived in Wisconsin at that time. They gather at Prairie du Chien and launch an expedition against St. Louis, which is under the control of the Spanish, who are in this war, what I would call frenemies of the United States. They're not necessarily close allies of the United States, but they have an enemy in kind, and that is Great Britain. So other than raising military contingents to go east in the case of the Burgoyne expedition or to go south in the case of the St. Louis expedition, the war doesn't visit what are the present day boundaries of the state.
Historian John Hall, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was UW-Madison history professor John Hall speaking with Wisconsin Life's Bridget Bowden. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Coming up, for our second Wisconsin Life story today, Bridget traveled to one Wisconsin community that found a unique way to honor its namesake, founding father John Adams. The original play, Abigail and John, First Couple of the United States, debuted in late June. We'll hear about it coming up. Stay with us.
Morning Edition brings you the news straight from reporters watching stories unfold.
To talk about that, we're joined by NPR's international correspondent, Aya Batraoui, in Dubai. Good morning.
Moz Bashel from member station KUT gives us a view from Austin, Texas.
NPR's Ada Peralta is with us now from Venezuela's capital, Caracas. Ada,
join us for a front row seat every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
And finally, it's time for another Wisconsin Life. People across the state are celebrating July 4th with parades and fireworks as they do every year. This year is, of course, extra special as it marks the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. WPR's Bridget Bowden tells us how one Wisconsin community is celebrating a key figure in American independence with a new work of theater.
Singers are warming up for a dress rehearsal at the Adams Community Theater in Adams, Wisconsin. They're getting ready to celebrate America's birthday with an original play about their city and county namesake, founding father John Adams.
In many ways, he's kind of the forgotten founder. We think of Washington and Franklin and Jefferson, but Adams was there all the time.
That's Adams County Historical Society President Michael Gock. He wrote Abigail and John, the First Couple of the United States, a new play making its debut at the old refurbished movie theater along the town's main drag. John Adams was the driving force behind the Declaration of Independence, and Gock says his influence went far beyond that.
He was involved in every important political event in the Revolutionary era from before 1776, and all the way up until he left the presidency in 1801.
As Gock researched Adams, he also learned more about First Lady Abigail Adams. In the play, John and Abigail sit at a table reading letters they wrote to each other over the years. Most of the dialogue was pulled directly from real historical letters from the many years the two spent apart while John worked to establish a new country.
They cared about the country. They worked hard. They stayed together for 54 years, and as John said, they were like steel to magnet.
As the lights come on, actor Aaron Bonnet takes the stage in a tricorn hat.
Good day, my fellow patriots. I am John Adams. You know me as the second president of the United States. I am also the namesake of your county, this city, and this theater.
He says along with worrying about founding a new country, John and Abigail's letters show that they dealt with the same problems that many married couples face today.
How much time do you dedicate to your profession? How much time do you dedicate to your family?
The comparison is made all the more real for Bonnet by the fact that Abigail is played by his real-life wife, Tanya Bonnet.
He was my dearest friend, and I his.
Everyone's heard of John Adams, and everybody knows what he did for our country, but here there was this really strong woman next to his side, advising him, and he really had a high amount of respect for her and turned to her a lot, and I think that's something that history just hasn't told us about.
Mind the music and the step and with the girls the handy.
The play's dialogue takes place over four short acts with songs from a local choir in between. Music director Sandra Swisher Pfeiffer says the pieces are all from that time period.
The hot hits of the 1770s. yes, one of the songs is we know is Yankee Doodle, but it's a slightly different version because it's the totally American version, not the British version that was intended to make fun of the colonials.
For Swisher Pfeiffer, the play has been a profound experience, especially during tumultuous political times.
It can be easy for me to feel a little bit discouraged now, but this gets back to the importance of of honor and of liberty and freedom, and how no one individual should have total power of in any sense within the government. And it's reminded me of where we started, and that's made me feel good.
And she hopes the audience will feel the same.
Our thanks to WPR's Bridget Bowden for bringing us both of those stories to help us celebrate the 250th this July 4th. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. And of course, we got to get your holiday forecast in here before letting you go for the day. Chance for some sunshine to start the day in northern Wisconsin, but we do have some rain moving in from the west, hovering over Minnesota and Iowa early this morning. That rain going to be making its way across the state today with highs peaking in the 80s. Scattered showers and storms likely across most of Wisconsin overnight, but it will start to cool down a bit with lows in the 60s. For the 4th of July tomorrow, highs in the 70s and 80s, so pretty comfortable, but it is going to be cloudy. Slight chance for some rain once again. By Sunday, things will be clearing up into a really nice day with highs back in the 70s and 80s. And that'll do it for this Friday. Really glad you could join us, and thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic 4th of July weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.